Gee whiz, aren't I special? Can I get a mic to walk around with? Can somebody give me a mic so I can move around? Because I got a message tonight that I can't stand still with. Isaiah chapter number 6, please. And I want to start out by thanking Pastor Goodman for asking me to preach. I know he's not here to thank, but I always thank a pastor that asked me to preach. I always thank him for it. Sit on the outside. We can do that. Thank you. And I do want to thank him for the opportunity to preach. I always appreciate that so very, very much. And so much for that. I'll get that out of the way since I've got to have the tent on the outside. Well, my wife and I had a very interesting afternoon. We left here. Almost always eat out on Sunday. It's kind of our break away from our diet day. Anybody else ever do that here? And upon my suggestion and my wife's agreement, we went down to Golden Corral down Lake Placid. And the waitress came, and the last thing she asked was, "Oh, am I all ready?" Thank you. The last thing she asked me was, "Anything else I can help with?" I said, "A wheelchair to get me to the door." But we left down to Winn-Dixie, and two or three things my wife looked for. And I always check out the meat for a special. You know how that is. And meat's so expensive. And I pushing my cart, going down the aisle looking for meat, you know, and they're pretty crowded today. And in front of me was one of the meat guys. He had his jacket on. He was pushing a cart, had some meat in there, and he was straightening everything up. And just so happened, I was right behind him. And we got down the end of the aisle. He turned back my way right at me, and he stopped and looked at me. He said, "Are you a preacher?" Now, I wonder what would give that away. I said, "Yes, sir, I am." And he said, "What denomination?" I said, "Baptist." And he looked at me for a second, and he said, "Well, I'm Catholic." And he said, "Could you do me a favor?" And I said, "Well, if I could." And he reached down inside his shirt and pulled out a cross. And he said, "Could you bless this cross for me?" He said, "I've not been home in 5 years. And I said, "Sir," I said, "me blessing your cross will do you no good at all." I said, "But knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is everything you need to get to heaven." Well, he agreed with me immediately and still wanted me to bless the cross. And I put my hand on his arm and said, "How about me giving you a blessing?" And I asked the Lord to bless him and end his life. And we went on. While people are going around us looking at the meat. And, you know, Brother Hools was talking about folks having a boldness this morning. Well, you know, I got boldness. But I'm ashamed to admit I don't always use it for the Lord like I should. I really don't. And wasn't that a wonderful message he preached? Wasn't that a great Sunday school lesson we had this morning? Amen? I tell you, we had, there goes the water bottle. At least it wasn't the flowers. But we had great Sunday school lesson and great preaching service this morning. I can't say enough for the Fair Ministry. We're not involved with Amazing Grace Ministries at Harvest Baptist Temple in Clyde, Ohio, but we do have our own setup for the fair, and it's very similar. We do the same thing every year, and we see a lot of people saved in our home, the hometown where we have for the fair. And I tell you, I cannot encourage you enough to spend a little bit of time this week at the fair. And let me tell you, you say, "Well, I don't think I could do that." Folks, you'd be surprised what God could do with you. Amen. You sign up, you go out there, and all you have to do is just listen to somebody else for a little bit. And you say, "Well, I think I could say a word or two." And that's all you have to do is open your mouth. And once you start, you say, well, I can say what he says. And all you have to do is start, and then God will give you what to say for yourself. And I tell you, it's so rewarding. It really is. And I encourage you to sign up, if you can, to go to the fair this year. Isaiah chapter number 6. If you're there, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you can, for the reading of the Word of God tonight. And I'm glad I've got a little extra time. I'll need it tonight. And I believe this is what the Lord will have me to preach tonight. Isaiah chapter 6, starting verse number 1 down through verse number 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the cherubims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." Just think about this for a minute, folks. The created being that God has created, the cherubims, they fly above him with twain covering them, and they've never one time sinned. And yet they cry unto the Lord, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." How holy is our great God. Verse 4, "And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts.' Then flew one of the cherubims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which had taken with the thongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this have touched my lips, and thy iniquities is taken away with thy sin purged.' And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Our loving Heavenly Father, I thank you for the wonderful opportunity to stand behind this pulpit tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, you give me through the Holy Spirit what I need to preach what you've given unto me. I pray, Heavenly Father, you bless each and every heart tonight. And I pray, Father, you would do what you mean to do here tonight. And I thank you for the great love wherewith you love us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight, please. I encourage you to take notes tonight. I may give some scripture a little quicker than you could look up tonight. The title of my message tonight is, God Loves Busybodies. You didn't hear that. God loves busybodies. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 11, it says, "For we hear there are some that walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." Now that's not the busybodies that God loves. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "And with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers, also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." And folks, that should not be happening in the church. And that's not the busybodies I'm talking about tonight. 1 Peter 4:15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer." And added to that list of a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in another man's business. And I think we can see how serious it is tonight not to be the type of busybody that God hates. God hates the sin but loves the sinner. But God hates the sin of being that type of a busybody. We see in Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19 that there are six things that God hates, and the seventh he calls an abomination. The six things that he hates is a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speak of lies, and the seventh, which he calls an abomination, is he that soweth discord among the brethren. And my friends, a busybody soweth discord among the brethren. And folks, that ought not be done among the church. You have a growing church here. Our second year is this year, and we're so thrilled to be part. Even though we're called that dirty word, a snowbird. Well, it's not a dirty word. You know, they've been changing that word down there. They've been calling a snowbird frogs now. Did you know that? Because sometimes we croak. But anyway, my wife says I shouldn't say that. But seriously, folks, you and I need to be like Isaiah. Isaiah, what Isaiah say? Here am I, send me. Isaiah was willing to be and allow himself, his body, to be busy for the Lord. And that's what you and I need to be. That's the type of busybody you and I need to be for the Lord. And you know, this is the kind of message ought to be preached on Sunday morning. Because you folks are here tonight. And the thing I hate to do worse is beat up Wednesday night, Sunday night people with a kind of message that sometimes Sunday only people ought to hear. Amen? But this is not exactly like that. But first thing that I want to say, point number one, if we are going to be busybodies for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to make ourselves available. Isaiah, if he was going to say, here am I, send me, the first thing he had to do is make himself available. And availability, my friends, availability is a condition of the heart. Yes. If I'm going to be available, I've got to make that a condition of my heart. It's a heart situation. Availability isn't just something I think, well, that's what I need to do. Right. There's a whole lot of things I need to do. I need to do a lot of things to help my wife. But I don't always do them. She threatens to make a job jar for me. Does anybody know what a job jar is?
Yes, sir.
Somebody's got one here. A friend of mine has one, but I don't want one. But availability, seriously, my friends, is a condition of the heart. We see here that Isaiah did not have a proud heart. Here I am, Lord, send me. And you and I should make sure that we have a heart that is available. We all know Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, don't we?
Yes. Amen.
Somebody quote it for me. So if we're going to even be involved in the perfect will of God, we must first do what? Pre present ourselves a what? A living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy. That's right, living. It's a heart condition, my friends. It begins with the heart. I must make myself have a heart-ready condition to be available. It begins in my heart. It's I want to from my heart. With my heart, I'm right with Him, and I make myself available to serve Him. I tear everything up. Is your heart right with God? Are you available to serve Him? Think about that. Number two, availability is putting God first. Availability is putting God first. Three ways. Well, that community was took out there for. Three ways. It's God, it's family, then it's church. We need to realize that in this life. My responsibility is to God first. God first. Then my family, then my church. When I say family, it don't mean skip church for my third cousin's birthday party. Talk about my immediate family, okay? God, family, church. There are things in life we need. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things we need shall be added unto you. And we all know that verse. It's a simple verse. But how often do we act like we don't know it? And another thing, and I'm speaking about myself here too. How many times do us snowbirds act like we're on vacation when we come to Florida? That we behave and treat church entirely different down here than we do up north. My wife and I eat like we're on vacation down here. We eat different than we do up there. And we have to discipline ourselves. But we're determined to be just as faithful to church here as we are up north.
Amen.
Just determined with, that we're going to serve God just as faithful here as up there. Now, we lack in other areas. Don't get me wrong. I've already confessed that. We lack in some other areas. But people give a lot of reasons for not being available. And a lot of their reasons are not true. It all boils down to not wanting to make a commitment. And it's hard to keep yourself available. Do you know that? How many believe it's hard to keep yourself available all the time? I'll tell you, the best illustration of that I know to give you is quite a few years ago. I mean, quite a few years ago. I was asked to preach down at Dallas-Fort Worth at Worth Baptist Church, Dr. Raymond Barber, for the Independent Baptist Fellowship International meeting. And we flew down and flew with from Ohio with two other preachers. And we flew into Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. How many has ever been in that airport? Okay, my wife and I at that time had not flown much. We've flown a lot since then. But we're not flown much then. We got off that airplane and with the other two preachers, and both the preachers had family down there, was meeting them at the airport, children and grandchildren. I don't know about grandchildren, they had children. Anyway, we got off the airplane, stepped out in the terminal, and I looked down there and thought I saw eternity. It was so far. Am I right, folks? I mean, it's so far. About as far as you'd see down through there. Well, anyway, we got our luggage. And my wife and I each had a suitcase. And the other folks got they're like kids betting. And I'll tell you, we had a big, pretty big entourage walking along here. And we all carrying our suitcases, walking along. And you know, there's escalators every just a little bit going down. Just every little bit escalators going down. And we're walking along, and my wife was ahead of me a little bit. She had two suitcases. I had two suitcases. And we come right next to these escalators, and Gloria's right next to these escalators going down. Somebody says, we go down here. She turned and stepped on the escalators, go down. She started down. Somebody else said, no, that's not the way we go. Now, what would you do? You go down, you turn around, and you come up the escalator. Not my wife, uh-uh. Like I said, we've not been around, flown, been around much. She heard that. She turned around. She started up. Suitcase in each hand. We're all standing up there watching my wife coming up the down escalator. Now, it wouldn't have been so funny if she'd have come up. But the problem was, she couldn't hardly make it up. And she'd get up close, and she'd run out of breath and fade away. Now, I'm not lying. I kid you not. And then pretty soon, she'd get her up and get going again. And here she'd come again and almost make it and fade away. She did that twice. Now, listen, I'm a real reactionary person. I shouldn't say right. Reactionary. You know what I mean. Person that I react very quick in situations. Real quick. I'm standing there dumbfounded. What's she doing? And the third time, boy, here she comes kicking it real high. And I was worried about her getting a little risque here. You know, she had a skirt on and stuff. And she got real close to the top, and one of the before that, the second time she was coming up, someone said, come on, Gloria, you make it. One of the preachers did. And by this time, you know, there's other people who I don't know watching because there was so many of us anyway. You know, people just started stopping and looking. But the third time when she really kicked it up, really got going, one of the preachers hollered, somebody's got to help her. And he got down there and got his hand down and reached her on that third attempt and helped her make it all the way up. And you know, making yourself available sometime is hard work like going up a down escalator in life. That's the best illustration I know. And Gloria, give me permission to tell that tonight. Making yourself available, friends, is hard work. Thirdly, being available is a realization of the importance of God's church. Christ loved the church. How much did he love the church? Well, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ gave himself for the church. And if Christ loved the church enough to give himself for it and die for it, we ought to love the church enough to live for it and make ourselves available in it. Amen. There's always needs in the church. I'll be honest with you. I've lived to see a different church than the one I used to pastor years and years ago. There'd be people wanting to do things, looking to be available to do something, asking to be involved in something. People nowadays say, well, you know, I would like to get involved in church, but I really don't know what God wants me to do. I have the answer. I do. Jump in, pick something out. That's not it, God will show you. But usually that's just an excuse saying, I don't want to do anything. But God wants you to be involved. There's something you can be involved with. There's visitation. Do you know visitation is not limited? It's not limited. There's always things and places that you can fit in and help out in the church. I guarantee if you went up to Pastor Goodman and say, is there something I could do to help out in the church? He would assign something for you to do that you could help out in the church. Oh, by the way, we can all help out with the tithe. Did you all hear me?
Amen.
I say we can all help out with the tithe.
Amen.
The tithe's only 10%. Tithing is each and every born-again Christian's responsibility. Malachi teaches us if we don't tithe, we're robbing God. Take away what belongs to Him. You know, if we come here Wednesday night and we come in here and that piano was gone. Woo! And that door was broken open. We would say some rotten thief broke in here and stole that piano. Wouldn't we? And we would say, who would steal from God? Am I right? But yet, if you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. According to Malachi, chapter number 3, you're robbing God. And we all have a responsibility to tithe. So my friends, number 3, being available, is a recognition as well the importance of the church. My goodness, I'm doing good. It's 2:15 already. Number 4, being available is rewarding. Oh, let me tell you how rewarding being available is. Look over to Isaiah chapter 1. You're right there close. Verse number 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 19. And we know 18 very well. Let's read that first. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Being willing and obedient is to be rewarded. 2 Corinthians 6:1 then says, we then as workers together with him. That verse I love. We then, being workers together, you and I, with him. As I talk about tonight, us working, us being available, we always remember as we work, we're workers together, one with another, in the local church, with him.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit, by his power, with him. That's an exciting thing to think about, my friends.
Amen.
As we labor together, we don't labor alone. We labor with each other, but also with him through that wonderful power of the Holy Spirit. And my friends, we will be rewarded one day, but we'll also even be rewarded in this life, my friends. My mom and dad, I'm the third generation of Mott to own a piece of property down here in Florida. First time I came to Florida was in 1960. I was 16 years old, and we drove down County Road 25A. There was not an Interstate 75 yet. We come all the way down through Ohio on 25A. You know, we'll forget that. I got to drive part of the way, and them big golf semis come down through there, double trailered, scared me to death. Never will forget that. But anyway, we went to Fort Myers to Palm and Pine Trailer Park. My grandma and grandpa Mott had a place down there. They were farmers. And they went down there in the winter and had a great time. I fished off the Edison Bridge there in Fort Myers, caught some trout, and just had a great time with my grandma and grandpa Mott down there. Years gone by, and then My mom and dad owned a place down by Ruskin at the Manatee RV Park. They owned a place there for years. We used to go down there, stay with them, and visit them. And we had a wonderful time down there with my mom and dad. And in their park, they had a big barn, a big activity place. And they'd have an early church service. There'd be overtime for folks to go to church in their local church. And there's two or three preachers in the park that organized that. And whenever I would go down there, they always wanted me to preach. You know, we'd go down for like a week or two, most of the time like 10 days or something, and they always wanted me to preach. And there'd be a big crowd there. It was a big park, and I loved to preach. And most of the time, there'd be four or five people get saved because I always preached the gospel. Well, this one year, I never will forget. And it was, I don't know, I think it was real close to Roe Visits Way. And I had that on my mind or something. And I preached the gospel, a gospel message. And somehow enough, I got off on Roe Visits Way. And I got to preach on an abortion. And I'm looking out here while I'm preaching on abortion. And nothing but Q-tips over the whole place. There wasn't anybody there that could even get pregnant. And I'm preaching on abortion. And I'm getting upset with myself. How did I get on this subject? Well, finally, I decided rather than just quit in the middle of it, I'd just do it thoroughly. And I did. Years later, my mom and dad's health was getting bad, especially my dad's. Got to the point that they're afraid to stay down there anymore. They put their place up for sale. This lady that my mom knew, it wasn't her best friend, but somebody she knew, come up to her and said, "Do you remember when your son preached down here?" And mom said, "Well, yeah, he preached down here several times. She said, "Well, the one time he preached down here, he preached out of the Bible about abortion." She said, "I didn't know the Bible said anything about abortion. And my granddaughter was getting ready to have an abortion." She said, "And I called her on the phone after I heard him preach and told her she couldn't have an abortion because God was against it. And I told her she didn't want that baby, I'd raise that baby. And she changed her mind, she didn't have an abortion." Amen. And here's a picture of that little boy.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
You talk about being rewarded in this life. And I had that picture blown up. Like a 5 by 7, a little blonde-headed boy. I wish I had it with me. I'd have it sitting right here if I did. You talk about being rewarded in this life. It was years later that I seen it. But you see, being available. And here was the Holy Spirit that got me on that, not me. And folks, make yourself available. And you'd be amazed at what God will use you to do. And you know, a lot of times, it'll not be until we get to heaven that we even know how God used us. That we even know what has happened to change the lives of others. Don't you want to be like Isaiah? Don't you want to be used of God to affect and change the lives of others? You don't have to be a Moody. You don't have to be a Billy Graham. You don't have to be some well-known person to change others' lives. Just to be able to make a difference in the lives of your neighbor will be rewarding before the judgment seat of Christ. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. My eyes are watering so bad now, I may have a hard time seeing the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. As we wind down here, They were up my eyes. I have heart. I haven't told that in a long time. About that grandma called their granddaughter. I had a fellow one time ask me, what's the best thing that's ever happened in your ministry? That's exactly what I told him about right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we're labors together with God. Amen. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones. And folks, that's what we want there. That's availability. That's serving the Lord. And then there's wood, hay, and stubble. That's everything we want to avoid. It's all the worldliness. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, the word of God. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If you've been born again, you'll be there. But how sad it is, my friends. How sad it is if you have no reward at all. If you've never done anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as our brother said this morning, never one time even gave out a tract. Never one time ever witnessed to another person about the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's Christians like that. Get saved and born again. And get before the Bema seat of Christ, and their works with wood, hay, and stubble be burned up, and they'll have no reward in their hand. None at all. No reward given to them. And they'll look around, and many others will have rewards given to them, crowns they'll receive. Because they made themselves available to serve the Lord. And you know what we're going to do with those rewards, don't you?
Yes.
We're going to kneel down along with the 24 elders and cast them at the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what are you going to do? With empty hands. What are you going to do? With empty hands. Let's stand together, please. And my friends, you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to encourage you to come down this aisle. Let us take the opportunity to take the Bible and show you how you can leave here tonight, knowing there's a place reserved in heaven for you. If something even happened to you tonight or this week, that heaven would be your home. Not based upon what you do, but based upon what Christ has already done for you. But I'm going to give the invitation tonight. Now, I'm serious. This is an invitation. I'm speaking to everyone here. I'm encouraging you to come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm making myself available to you. I want to serve you. I'm making myself available for whatever you want me to do. I want to be more sensitive to the things in my spiritual life. I want to be more available for whatever you have for me. I love you, Lord. I want to serve you. If you're not saved, you come up here and look up at me. And I'll either take the scripture and show you how to be saved or get a lady and have her show you how to be saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You come as God has spoken to your heart. Step out, don't wait as the music begins. Father, I pray folks would obey, folks would come even now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God has spoken to your heart. Don't hesitate. Step right out.